From across the comic book community multiverse, the Comic-Con podcast begins now with your hosts, Justin, a.k.a. Nemesis Prime.
If you give them the title of influencer, then that's giving them more power, right? That's how it is. Like, I'm a nobody. Listen, I'm a nobody.
Zach, a.k.a. the Manimal.
We talked about it for a full, I believe, 7 to 8 minutes on an hour-long normal podcast for a show. And you would have thought we set their house on fire with the backlash.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the final episode of 2023, season 3, episode 52. We did this 52 weeks in a goddamn row. Holy shit. How are you,
man?
How are you?
A little under the weather, but I'm here. Happy to be here. It's cold, so I'm all bundled up. But so out of 52 weeks, how many did you miss? One or two?
New York Comic Con was one. Mm-hmm. And then I think that was it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I only missed that one. I was pretty going for a very long time. And then, that New York Comic Con hit me and I was like, ugh. Because I think we did, or maybe Baltimore. Did I do Baltimore? I can't remember.
I can't remember either. I know I went solo with Gabe once, and who else? I feel like I went solo with someone else one time, but I definitely missed more than you this year. Having the baby and stuff kind of cost me a couple episodes.
Oh yeah. So you're all bundled up, but that's unusual for you. Usually you're in just like a t-shirt. I've never really seen you bundled up with like a beanie and the jacket on.
I'm not in El Paso. I'm in Kansas City right now, so it's a little colder here. And being a little sick, I got, you know, little chills going on. So I'm bundled up. I got like a space heater on in my father's office here. So staying nice and toasty.
Yeah, yeah. So we're live on YouTube doing this final episode for the year. We're going to do a little year in review. We did send out the link to a bunch of people that have been on the podcast over the past years, I would say. We also did drop it. I dropped it over in the chat as well. So if anybody wants to pop on, you know, feel free.
We'll definitely have some fun.
We got some, of course, we always like to do our year in review of comics. I'm sure we'll talk about some drama if other people jump in here as well. So it is in the chat. So, you know, ending the year, you know, first and foremost, you know, we want to thank everybody that's been coming on the show over the past couple of years, especially this year. We made a lot of new friends. We had a great time with everybody, you know, myself going to different cons. You know, Zach always says this, and I'm going to steal it from him, is even if we only had 10 people to listen to us on a weekly basis, like, it's fun.
For sure.
It's absolutely blast to do this every week. To be honest, it feels like it's longer than a week. Like, we literally do this once a week. I feel like we just recorded last Thursday with Kevin from Shortbox, and it's already a week later.
Like,
and I'm like, damn, it's like, this feels like 2 or 3 weeks, but man, this is like awesome that, you know, we're doing this last one, and I'm super excited to start the new year. We got a lot of news, lot of things changing.
2024 is going to be the year of the Comic-Con podcast for sure. Yeah.
So what about you, Manimal?
Yeah. You know, like you said, it feels like, well, this week's always feels long because the holidays, right? So the holidays throw everything off. I had a horrible travel experience, which I told you about, trying to get out here too, which that felt like 2 days of travel with a 7-month-old. So, but yeah, dude, it's nice to be able to come here every week. It's kind of like you said, I genuinely feel that way, whether anyone's listening to us or not. Like, I have fun just being here talking to you. So it's nice, and I'm excited to do it. I'm excited to do it next year when we have a lot more really cool stuff, which even we've announced some stuff, but we got some more awesome things coming up. So,
yeah, the first episode of the year, you people are going to be it's going to be a completely different show. Same people. You're not even going to tell. It's going to be wild. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, man. And I know I've been saying it for a while about me coming out to the East Coast, and you know, that's getting closer to happening. So, that's going to be wild as well. So,
yeah, you'll be comics. Thanks, man. Yeah. 24 is going to be massive for you. Looking forward to the success of the podcast. Appreciate that, newbie. You know, hopefully you can jump on here tonight. If not, I know you're working and whatever, but, we'll talk about some comic book stuff before we get into normally what we do for our wrap-up show for the end of the year. We always talk, we always have different categories, and we discuss, you know, whether it's like best event, worst event, writers, artists. We've been doing that over the past couple of years. So, obviously drama. We literally started the year with drama, right?
Dude.
Remember?
What was it at the beginning of the year? I can't keep track of all the drama. Was it acetate?
It was the Illest Illuminati. It was the Illest Illuminati thing with like the Nazi scarecrow or whatever his Hail Crow thing was.
That's right. That's right.
How we started off 2023 was with
all the influencers in the crowd.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it was. So
yeah. No, man. That was a little minor blip. What's some of the other drama, the big drama this year? Obviously more recently, but like back then, what else did we have, dude? It was kind of quiet. I remember being kind of quiet in the spring, drama wise. Like there wasn't a lot going on.
Yeah, I feel like because everybody came out of that C2E2 gate from 2022, right? And they knew to keep quiet. You're like, who's the first person that's going to fuck up something? Like, who's the first person that's going to be like, oh, I don't know, like, going to do something wrong, and then everyone's going to be talking about me.
Right, right. Yeah. I feel like there's just been, it's hard to even, like, quantify how many times there's been, like, whatnot drama, right? Like, I mean, there's always something going on, and it does feel like at some point every bit of drama touches into whatnot. And I feel like this has been even more the year, you know? Like with them kind of like it feels like the wheels are falling off, but
yeah,
only time will tell.
I don't even think, well, not so much even in our community, like our hobby of comics, but I think it was earlier this year was the Blake Martinez thing with the Pokemon stuff.
Like, oh yeah.
He was out. So like, we talked about that and that whole big scandal that went on with whatnot. And it just continues. It trickles into every hobby, literally today. So you and I, behind the scenes, we were talking about this girl, Destiny FOMO, whatever that's her name, right? And I was talking about our buddy Juan, and we were going back and forth, and he was like, oh yeah, she's from Jersey. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And he goes, oh yeah, there's some drama around her and some things and harassment. So I'm like, of course there is. Like every hobby has it. That's why you just got to start the pogs, man. Got to go into this new thing. Or what he said was pretty funny. He goes, he's like, got to find that VHS drama. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Dude. Well, who dabbles in the VHS, man? I don't even know. What was it? There's a YouTube seller who sells a little bit of VHS. Or not YouTube. I'm sorry. Whatnot.
I know the big, for me, I know Vancouver Comic Junkie up in Canada. I know he's really big into the VHS stuff. I always see him posting on his Instagram. Obviously, who's the comedian who like really started the whole thing?
I have no idea. I don't follow VHS.
Oh, he was Jazz from Transformers. You know who it is. Pete Davidson.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Like he was the one who's like, oh, I got high one night and just started buying all these like sealed VHSs and they were dirt cheap. And then all of a sudden, like months later, everyone's like doing it. And now it's like the most expensive thing in the world. So.
Dude, I'm telling you, we got to get above the curve with the novels, the encapsulated novels that I was talking about.
That's holy shit, man!
First
edition
books and encapsulate them.
Yeah, and go ahead.
Someone was telling me, I think it was my father-in-law, was saying that there is, go ahead. Why I look this up? I don't want to ruin this, so I'll come back.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Shout out to Scott, our buddy Scott Palachek. He was on the podcast this year with his book Marvis. We actually, you just did a video about the book over on the Omnibus stuff and he reposted.
Yeah, Nearman
really
Condition.
Cool. Nearman Condition comics. That was actually really cool. I kind of watched the video and how people were picking different things, and it was good. You got a nice little time to talk about the book, talk about Scott, like everything that's in the book. If people haven't picked it up, you can always check back on that episode. We had Scott here in early October.
Over at Nearman Condition, Omar and the crew over there, they do, like I've said it a couple times on their show and on other places, they're the go-to channel for omnibuses. Nearman Condition, they are awesome. He gives you a heads up on any like book that's going to drop in the year. And he did something really cool, which he didn't have to do. And it's not even like, you know, something that's, I mean, he's very awesome with the community, but it's not like he does this all the time. And he had an idea to like get content creators throughout like YouTube, Instagram and whatnot, and come on and talk about their favorite reads of the year. So he reached out to me. I've known him for a couple of years now. Obviously Gabe, our buddy Gabe, 90s, Gabe Loves 90 Comics, was a part of the Omni Bros, and is kind of, that's how I met Omar, was through him. But yeah, dude. So anyway, went on there, check it out. Check out a lot of content creators. You can also kind of scroll down and find the thumbnail for my portion where I talked about Scott's book, Marcus. And I butchered it a little bit. I already talked, I had to apologize to Scott. I kept saying the war in Iraq when it was war in Afghanistan. But it was like, I'd been trying to do this video for like 3 days and I hadn't found the time. And with the baby and with life and with traveling. And I was like, okay, I got to get this shit done. And I just bopped in real quick and I just went one take and that's it. I even told Omar, I was like, bro, edit it how you want. Like, I don't care. There's probably some mess ups in there. So, and there was. So, but yeah. No, so I was going to tell you, I can't find. So is this it? So the Harry Potter book. So in America, it's called Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, right?
Yeah.
In Europe, in the UK, it's Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah.
And the first edition of that book sold for something like insane amount. And dude, I was looking it up. Where is it? Oh, here it is. $975,000. And then even the American first edition with the Sorcerer's Stone, I feel like sells for about 40K or something. So mm-hmm. I immediately went to my room. And I was like, bro, I will sell this book. I will sell this book if this is the right one and buy like a knockoff copy. But it has to have like the correct like code on it. And I don't mm-hmm. I don't think mine had it. But anyway, that's about our conversation about like these first edition books, man. So
yeah, I know like obviously Elite Comics on YouTube or Instagram, whatever, they do tons of comic sales, but now they have that other channel called Elite Collectibles and they sell like toys and Pokemon cards, and they have posted novels on there that they try to sell, like, you know, big time, like first editions like that. And you know, you never know when like a book like that is going to change, like how much it could go for, right? Like that's so crazy. Wild. Like, and it's, and especially like that, like obviously, yeah, in the UK, it's called Philosopher's Stone and we got the Sorcerer's Stone. Same thing with like comic books. I feel like sometimes, not so much comic books change it, but like video games, they always change like mm-hmm. the name of the game. Obviously, like Resident Evil in Japanese is Biohazard. Here, it's called Resident Evil, and there's a ton of other things. And I even feel like card games are like that too, if I'm not mistaken. So, I got a great video share tonight. Do you want to come on here, Matt? It's on the thing. I mean, I don't, hopefully you don't share it anywhere else. So
50,000 for the Sorcerer's Stone.
All right.
Oh, so wait, maybe this might be all of them. And this isn't, dude, that's in fine condition too. Hardcover used in fine condition.
I think the best thing I have is my first edition, like Heir to the Empire from like the 90s. I think I have that hardcover somewhere.
Yeah, dude. Maybe I should sell my. I bought them as they came out, dude. And Scott. You know, I read the Anne Rice like vampire books a long time ago, and then I kind of fell off. I couldn't get into them after a while. I just couldn't keep doing them. But I mean, they're super popular, so I wouldn't doubt it. And if you get them signed, bro, and it's not like CGC, right? Like you get a signature from a writer. It doesn't have to be like verified or anything like that. So that just ups the value.
Well, yeah, they do it like that with cards and stuff. Obviously, CGC doesn't do signature series yet, but like PSA and Beckett and VGA and all those other different grading companies, you know, so I'd be interested to see, like you said, man, if they could start grading books, we're in for a rude awakening on what people are going to start grading and holding on to.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, there it is. Scott's got it. He knows all
that.
There
we go. The Wheel of Time, baby. So they got the comic coming out now, book two. They did obviously book one, Eye of the World, over at Dynamite. And then The Great Hunt, book two, has just started. I think they're on issue two. Came out a couple weeks ago. And it's fun, man, because now I get to like like before the show came out, I reread all of them, right? And it took me about a year. And I read fast, dude, but there's like 13 books and each book is damn near 1,000 pages long. And with life and work and stuff like that, you know. So it took me about a year. So it's nice to be able to kind of still dip my toe in Wheel of Time slowly. And I don't have to like delve back into the book. So I'm pretty excited about the comics for sure.
Nice.
So.
So yeah, I mean, back to like the drama. So obviously this year and then kind of towards the end, we were talking about obviously all the stuff that's going on with Epic. And it's still there, folks. You know, there's a lot of things and... most recent thing, obviously, the CGC drama is wild. You know, obviously, we're not going to get too much into it. There's a lot of people that have put them out some great videos as far as how to literally open up these new cases. It's unbelievable, like how easy it is to just, you know, heat it, melt it away, pop it open a little bit, take the book out, put a new one in, put some glue on it, like.
Yeah, I was surprised though. I don't feel like CGC ever comes out and says anything. So I was kind of surprised to see their, and pleasantly surprised. Like I thought it was good of them to like address the issue. You know, I always think it's horrible when there's obviously something going on and they don't. You know, whether it fixes it, solves it, it seemed like their stance on it was pretty aggressive or going to be aggressive. But, you know, who knows if they follow through with that or not. So.
Well, I like how they came out and said there's about around 100 books.
Yeah.
That's concerning because you don't know who's got those books, to be honest.
Right. And so, and like, how do they know? Is this all from one guy? Did they trace these books back to the one individual or are they aware of like another individual? Like this is the stuff you should be putting out. Like, do not buy from Manimal or something like that. You know, like put the name out so people know.
It's got to be like a bad batch. And I'm not making Star Wars reference there, but... like if they knew when those books got graded, right, it had to be, you know, around the same time that other books were getting graded, that those cases are probably, you know, faulty. That's basically what that is.
Or put out on the forum or something on their website, like a list of the serial numbers, you know, so that, you know, so like Incredible Hulk 181 and this serial number, this is, you know, could be a bogus book. I mean, that's what they should be doing. So, but
yeah, it's going to be crazy. So let's kind of start off like what we do for the end of every year, talking about comics. Obviously, this is a comic book show. We don't have any articles to talk about unless something pops up and we want to talk about it. But let's kind of start off with some of the picks that we have this year. We have 5 different categories. Let's kind of start off with our best miniseries of 2023. Miniseries, we kind of kept it short, so it's got to be less than 6 issues. Yeah. Obviously, limited series would go to like 10 or 12, but miniseries is less than 6 issues. So why don't you start us off, man, for best miniseries of 2023? You know, what do you think that what was your favorite miniseries?
To come it's out tough because there's been a lot of great ones, right? And you try to like look back and it sucks too, because obviously the ones you've read more recently are the kind of ones that stick in your head. And this one just ended like last week. Predator versus Wolverine. Is what I'm going with. Predator versus Wolverine by Benjamin Percy. It just, and we talked about it multiple times on the show. It was just so much fun. Like it was so much fun. You got, obviously Marvel has the rights to Predator now and you're mixing them up with somebody who's going toe to toe. Who better than the one who's the best there is at what he does? Wolverine. It goes through the history of Wolverine, you know, from his time in like the Canadian wilderness to Weapon X, to Team X, to X-Men. And into the present in the final battle with the Yachi. I don't know how you pronounce it.
What are they? How do you call them?
Hukti? I don't know.
Yeah,
Y-A-U-T-J-E.
Yeah.
I don't know how to pronounce it. But anyway, great series, 4 issues. Like I said, a lot of fun, really true to both characters. I could see them doing, we talked about this, you could see them doing more of these miniseries with Predator. I don't know if I'd want him to, but I really love this one. I thought it was super cool. So,
yeah, this definitely would have been my number one. If you didn't pick it, it definitely was on my runner up. So I at least had to pick like one or two different.
Yeah.
To make sure. Cause I know you and I are going to be similar on some of these. So, I just read, obviously, cause you talked about it last week, cause you got the books early. So I got to read this week's, you know, final issue. And you're right. Like, it was unbelievably awesome. And, you know, we talked about it last week, like, where could they go? And I said Deadpool. And then I had a conversation with you through text saying, I think a great series would be Black Panther, where the Predator, you know, lands outside of Wakanda. And then he's like trying to kill off some little tribe. They get into the Dora Milaje in there. You get Black Panther in there and all the tech that the Wakandans have. I think it'd be such a cool series because, like you said, it's somebody who doesn't have like that ability to you know, regenerate themselves.
I wouldn't want to see Deadpool or another healing factor guy, you know, and then that's just kind of the same thing. And then with Deadpool, of course, it'll be funny and like, you know, that'd be stupid. So,
So
we'll see.
Yeah. I'm like I said, I think, They definitely will do more. And I think, you know, because we saw that way back in the day, like DC Dark Horse, they used to do the Alien, the Predator Batman. They did that like three different series for that. They had the Alien Superman and Batman Superman Alien Predator stuff. So there's going to be so many that you're going to see, I think, coming down the line in 2024 that are not announced. I know at the end of this issue, obviously, they showed the next series for the Predator. And that's cool that they're keeping these Predator series pretty short, even though they are... a consistent story with the characters, the chick, the
I mean, it's also like, is there a singular predator? You know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of this race of hunters, you know. And I never read any of the Dark Horse stuff, so I'm not super familiar with like the comic book stories, the universe of the Predator. But I don't know. I feel like at some point that would get kind of boring, you know, if you're just like, hey, here's another Predator hunting someone, you know, like you got to kind of go back to the home world. Alien. Now they have aliens. So of course, I'm sure they'll do Alien versus Predator, which was always really cool. So we'll see. What'd you have?
So for me, I actually, the whole secret, the Ultimate Invasion.
Oh,
a little.
Okay. I didn't realize you liked that much.
Yeah, well, because, you know, that's what it is. It was like trying to think of like what's a good little mini series. Like I said, that was, you know, no more than about six, you know, had to be less than six issues. So I'm like, well, you know, obviously, yeah, you could do, like you said, the shorter ones. We do have a we do have a category for events. So I didn't really want to pick like an event mini series. So I figured, you know what, I did like that because, again, bringing back Jonathan Hickman and the whole Ultimate Universe, we're going to see a lot of that in 2024 with Ultimate Spider-Man. You know, what the Maker does and just what he did in that series with the whole, you know, stopping superheroes from getting their powers or becoming superheroes at a specific point in time was very interesting. Right. So I thought it was a good little run for that. And then again, like I'm super excited for 2024 to read, to start off with Ultimate Spider-Man and that whole series. So
nice. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it too. What do you got? Ultimate Black Panther, there's going to be Ultimate X-Men, which I'm like bummed about because I think it's Peach Momoko. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I do not like her art. And I read some of that. Didn't she do some of those like offshoot X-Men, like Psylocke books and like for a little while?
Where yeah,
like
she did the Demon Days stuff. Yeah,
that Demon Days. And I didn't like those. So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
All right, so moving on to our next category, we have best event of 2023. So obviously events could be anywhere from Marvel, DC, or indie. For me, I am definitely picking for event. One that just recently ended is the Dark Droids. I think Dark Droids was probably one of the better, you know, story arcs that they've done in the Star Wars since it's been brought back to Marvel. It brought horror to Star Wars is something that you don't ever see. And it does have kind of a last, you know, a lasting phase. Like, and I liked it because you almost had to read a lot of the tie-ins because like that fifth issue for Dark Droids, if you didn't read the D droid squad, like you wouldn't have no idea like why like BT 000 R2 are there. You know, and then you have all the things that are going on in the different planets. Like you have Luke and his crew, and then obviously you have Aphra and Vader. But for a moment there, you actually really thought that the scavenger was going to take over at the end. And I'm like, oh wait, no, this can't happen because this is in between Return of the Jedi,
right? Like
Empire and Jedi. So
what if we found out the Scourge was in control the whole time?
Yeah.
No, it was a good one. It was good.
Yeah, I just feel like the weakest one, obviously, was Aphra and Bounty Hunters. I mean, obviously, you know, you still get Valance as like the main character in Bounty Hunters, but that's going to be ending, I think, next issue, like issue 42. Aphra's going to be ending as well. But yeah, I thought Dark Droids was a perfect, you know, series for the Star Wars universe to bring in a little horror. And it really aimed on like the biblical side too, right? With the scavenger, when he like broke himself apart into like multiple bodies and he had different, visions of himself. Mm-hmm. It was just like, you know, controlling everything. That was like the whole thing that I enjoyed about the series was it was, and then you had Ajax Sigma who becomes Ajax Prime type of thing. So it was cool. What about you, man? What was your favorite event for this year?
Oh, man. I think my favorite event, and I don't know if you can call this an event or miniseries, I'm going to go ahead and call it an event, was the big game. I loved the Mark Miller universe and how it brought all that stuff together. You had Nemesis, you had Kick-Ass, you had everything. Nightclub, all of them, dude. Even Kingsman. I thought that was so much fun. Obviously, it kind of went the route you expected it was going to go, where like everyone dies in the beginning and gets murked by the bad guys, but then retcon and they come back, time travel. But it was a lot of fun. It was cool seeing all, like, it's just wild to think of all the characters Mark Miller has created, you know, and throughout his career. And then also like how he tied it all together to like Jupiter's Legacy and to Nemesis and to Wanted. Like, oh, so they're saying like, oh, Jupiter's Legacy, those are all the heroes that Wanted killed, right? And then what started the heroes coming back was Kick-Ass, you know, starting to be a hero on his own. So I really enjoyed it. I thought it was awesome. I think anyone should go check it out. 6 issues. It's worth picking up. A lot of fun.
Yeah. I figured you were going to pick that on the...
Oh, really? It actually wasn't on my list. It wasn't what I had picked. And then I thought about it while you were talking and I was like, oh shit, big game. So,
yeah.
You want to pause and let's do a quick, you want to talk about a Tim's question there?
Yeah. Yeah. We can bring up a community question. So, our buddy, Tim, Children of the Atom statue collector, huge statue collector here in New Jersey. What do you guys think about the current market for whale graded books, Hulk 181, X-Men 1, stuff like that? Is now a time to look buying, or is the market too volatile at the moment? I mean, if you're buying, I mean, shit, now's the time to buy, right?
Yeah, I think so too. And especially for like specifically for a Tim who you're looking to have those books in your collection because you're a fan, you're not looking for a flip and like value type stuff. I'm sure you get your hands on either one of those books, you're never letting it go. But yeah, I do think now is the time. It's as good as it's going to get, maybe. I mean, it can go down, of course, more. I think we have moved past those COVID prices, those absurd COVID prices. Will it go down more? I mean, maybe if the economy takes a dump, you know, if it does, you know, which isn't good all around, but who knows? But yeah, I would say now is probably better than X-Men coming to the MCU.
Yeah, I think in 6 months, come, you know, San Diego Comic-Con or, you know, like a Hall H type of thing where we're going to have some type of news, obviously, with the news of Jonathan Majors and him getting released as Kang, like what they're going to do. Are they going to kind of move forward? You know, maybe, you know, did you hear the rumor that they're looking at like Sinister as like a villain to bring in?
Yeah, there's been a couple rumors. One was that they were going to go an all-female team, that Sinister was going to be the villain, which would be a good look. I mean, Sinister would be a great villain that they haven't done yet. You could even make it seem like, of course, it's not true and accurate to, like, mutants, but you could almost make it like he's the one who created the X gene, you know, or had a hand in it. It might piss off a lot of, like, you know, true believers, so to speak, but... there's a lot you could do with Sinister, and we haven't seen him. And we had a lot of lead up to him in like the Days of Future Past and New Mutants and stuff like that. We never got it. So,
But yeah, I think that's the thing is like, if they make, I think right now, obviously, yeah, all the books have been coming down, and now's the time really to buy because, you know, again, the first bit of news that we get for like the next kind of phases, or if they need to change stuff with this Marvel release based on what's going on with Kang, like if they're completely scrapping him, and now there's a rumor that the Beyonder is going to be the villain in Secret Wars. But I feel like we all knew that he was going to be the villain in Secret Wars. Like that was just kind of, he was the villain in the series. Like, why wouldn't it have been him? So, but yeah, once they make any notion of the X-Men, I think it's going to be, you know, hands down, that book is going way back up. And the same thing with like Hulk 181. I think, you know, yeah, we know that Wolverine's going to be in Deadpool 3. How many people are still buying that book constantly? That book constantly sells.
Yeah, and honestly, the 181 might take a little while to peak again, because who knows what they're going to do? Like, if they're going to bring Wolverine in immediately. I mean, it's going to be hard, man. It's going to be hard to recast Hugh Jackman, like, successfully. So maybe a slow burn to bring him into the game might be the way to go. Who knows? I mean, that would also make sense in the way they do things, right? To be like, in credit scene, like a Wolverine teaser, you know what I mean? Like, I could see them doing something like that.
Yeah. We'll have to see what Deadpool is going to bring to us. So,
yeah.
You know, we got from the live chat for, you know, our categories, Scott saying, you know, he really enjoyed The Last Ronin or The Punisher for the miniseries, and Devil's Reign for events.
Yeah.
Devil's Reign definitely was good. The new Last Ronin was good. The Punisher, I can't think of what the miniseries. Oh, the miniseries was what?
Well, it wasn't a mini. It was like an ongoing.
The War Journal thing? Is that maybe the...
No. Yeah, it was Jason Aaron's run on... But it was like longer than a mini. It was about 20 issues or so. Yeah.
All right. So let's
get... It was great, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I was a big fan. I like Devil's Reign. So I agree with Scott on
Devil's
that.
Devil's Reign's great,
too. So sticking with events, again, something different for this year. We got the worst comic event of 2023 because there has to be not only great events or good events, there has to be some terrible ones that we think of. And we all know that there's these events that pop up, whether it's in... the big three or anything indie, not too much on indie, but I guess the big three that are just hands down the worst of the worst and do nothing to the status quo. So, what was your most hated event this year?
Ooh, I think you're going to disagree with me on this too, is I thought Batman versus Robin sucked. I thought nothing happened in it. I thought it had no like important storylines. Nothing went anywhere in it. I feel like it was just a money grab for Batman versus Robin. And I thought it was lame. It was super lame. Was it Joshua Williamson?
Yeah.
I think, yeah. Oh, dumb. Okay. Dumb.
So. All right. Yeah, I'm fine with that. I really thought you were going to go, when you said Batman, you were going to go Gotham War, but I'm like, oh, there's no way.
It was close. Not the worst, but I also didn't feel like Gotham War set much of a tone. I mean, it's kind of like, it definitely, it's cut him off from the Bat family, besides Damian, I guess, but.
He's out of the manor. He's out of Wayne Manor.
He's out of the manor, but he's been out of the manor. He's been out of the manor. He's been in that brownstone for a while. I mean, it wasn't the worst, but I definitely didn't feel like it was great by any means. So.
Okay.
You? What's your worst?
I mean, I had to stick DC as well, and I went with Lazarus Planet. You know,
I didn't even read that, dude.
Yeah, I mean, that was supposed to be like the kickoff of 2023.
Yeah,
you know, with Mark Waid writing it, and I really thought it was gonna, you know, do something, because that way they were talking about this after the Dark Crisis on Infinite Earths, and it was just, and it was gonna kick off this Dawn of DC. But I mean, it made no sense. Like, you had Robin, Batman, Talia was in there, and then you just threw in like a bunch of other characters. And it didn't really go anywhere. And I know we talked about it, like they were doing these little side stories, and the one side story wasn't bad. Like something about gods, right? It was like Wonder Woman and Shazam, and the bringing about the gods. Like, that was cool. It did introduce new characters. They're, you know, I went back and as I was thinking about like these series that we were, you know, going to talk about, and I had to think about all the different events that I read this year. I went back and I looked up, and it did introduce a lot of new characters this year. So, you know, DC does do well on introducing new characters. Some of them did get their own series. Some of them are in like teams. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Yeah. Like, what's going to happen going forward. But
DC's events have been kind of, even Dark Crisis wasn't very good. And then, like, I'm reading Titans, but I don't have any desire to read the Beast World event, and like, I don't know, it could be good, but like, don't know, man.
I've been reading some of them. Like, I've been reading the one shots, and there some of them are interesting. Like, there was the Suicide Squad one was pretty interesting because they do go back and they bring back the Dr. Hate from Night Terrors. So there is like a continuation. Like, so if you read Night Terrors and you
another bogus one.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, for the most part, but you know, you bring in a new villain, and at least then he shows up later on. Like, so at least there's a continuing effort for this person. It's not like they introduce him in the summer and now he's like gone, you know, and it's good because it's not like a Batman thing, you know, like when they did the Dark Knights is, you know, the Dark Knight Metal, right? Like, it was a Batman villain basically. And he was constantly showing up in the DC universe. This is a character who has nothing to do with Batman. At least they're trying to bring him back. But yeah, the Beast Worlds is very odd. So,
yeah, man, I don't know. I love DC, but there's really not a lot of titles out there that like I'm picking up that, I mean, obviously Batman, Titans, and I get Green Lantern, but even Green Lantern, I'm kind of like, meh, you know. Summer of Symbiotes, isn't that coming out this year?
No, that was like with the Carnage Reign.
Summer of Symbiotes was what they announced this summer is coming out.
No, that was like all the Death of the Venomverse. Yeah, that was all like this over this summer. Summer of Symbiotes. Mm. That was
I don't know. Fuck Symbiotes.
Yeah, the Summer of the Symbiotes. I'll look it up real quick while we're it's like Summer of Symbiotes reading order was the Carnage Reign, the Red Goblin stuff, the Cult of Carnage, Misery. And then you had the Extreme Venomverse, Death of the Venomverse. So yeah, all that stuff was part of that Summer of Symbiotes. I know it really wasn't called Summer of Symbiotes, but like the whole idea was that they were all the titles were involved were all different symbiotes because that, you know, we had the introduction of the Red Goblin, which was a good run. I like that one. So
what, Gold Goblin?
No, Red Goblin.
Red Goblin. Yeah, Red Goblin wasn't too bad.
Let's see what we got next up for our categories. We have two more left. We're going to start off with best comic writer of 2023. Now I know who you're going to pick, so I'm just going to write it down. I'm going to write it down. And then when you say it, I'm just going to turn the notepad around and see if I'm right. Cause I'm going to have you go first and then I'm going to agree with you. So who is it? And then you can go into it.
Okay. Charles Soule.
Oh shit. Okay. Then I'm not going to show
you. Got it wrong?
Completely wrong. Good.
Yeah.
Glad you chose that person.
Okay. No, Charles Soule for me. Mainly because I love all the stuff he's doing on Star Wars, right? Like all the titles. High Republic. I think he's writing what Starlight Citadel or whatever.
Shadows of Starlight. Shadows of Starlight. Yeah.
And then Shadows of Starlight, and then obviously all the other Star Wars books, The Dark Droids. He was leading the run on that. And then I'm a massive Hell to Pay or the Shrouded College universe. So like we had Newton come out, and then we had Bloody Dozen. Number one came out this year. And I think last year my favorite miniseries was Hell to Pay. So we haven't had a lot of the Shrouded College. I can't remember if that bled into this year or not, but I love all that stuff. I love Charles Soule. He's definitely my favorite writer this year for sure.
Okay.
So there's some close ones. I'm wondering if who you think. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. But I feel I picked him last year.
I feel like, I don't know. Who do we choose yet? I think I chose Gillen last year. Cause I feel
and
like
I think I chose Zdarsky.
Yeah. But I mean, this year you got Zdarsky. So Scott's got it right for me. Scott is definitely hit the nail on the head. I really thought you were going to take Chip. I mean, just for, you know, the Daredevil stuff, obviously what he's been doing with Batman as well, you know, it has just been nonstop. So I can't absolutely love what he's doing. You know, that last Daredevil series, it was a series that I didn't think that I was going to read. Not a huge Daredevil fan, but it was written very well. Good. Yeah. And, you know, last year, and I think last year when we talked like limited series, I think one of us picked Batman the Knight because that was.
Oh,
last year.
100%. That was amazing. So, yeah.
And that kind of bleeds over into like what the ongoing stuff is. And obviously, yes, with the Batman, Catwoman, Gotham War, you have a writer who's writing all that as well. So definitely Chip Zdarsky is my 2023 writer, without a doubt.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like I said, I'm pretty sure I picked him last year based on Daredevil. And he is, yes. I mean, there's no denying it. But I really, Charles Soule this year for me. So.
All right. Final category for our 2023 comic book a year in review. And again, chat, feel free to drop in anything as well. So we have best ongoing series of 2023. Zach?
This was a tough one because I felt like I have some honorable mentions because I feel like a lot of series were great this year, but they ended. And so I find it hard to like call, like Ghost Rider was awesome this year. But that just ended. Shout out to, obviously they just started these books, so I didn't really feel comfortable making this pick, but everything in the Energon universe right now, I love. Like, I love Void Rivals. I've loved the Transformers stuff. I really enjoyed Duke. So they're coming up, and I think that stuff's really great. I think ongoing for me, Batman probably. I mean, for me, it's probably Batman. So, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
That's still going right now.
Yeah, of course. It's going to be an ongoing, ongoing series. Obviously, you have, series like Daredevil and Punisher and Ghost Rider. Those are all series that have kind of, they've bled over from last year, and I'm sure we pretty much talked about them. I don't know. Like, I can't think of too much honorable mentions. I would throw Something Is Killing the Children up there just for the simple fact is it's a series that I'm still going with. Like you said, there's some new series I feel like it's too new to put, but I loved first couple issues of Carnage.
They're great.
It's starting. It's so strong. Like, it's absolutely super strong, and I feel like as it's going to continue, it probably will be if it continues all the way into next year, which from what we've spoken with Torin about, it will probably be my 2024 best ongoing series.
Yeah, it's super strong, but like you said, two issues. I was like, I don't know if I can say that, but
totally pick of the year, same thing, man. Got to go with Batman. Chip being my best writer for the year. The Failsafe stuff, the current stuff that's been going on post the Gotham, Batman, Catwoman, Gotham War. And however we're going to end, from what I've seen on solicitations, like Batman 142 is where it's going to be ending, whether it's going to get a reboot back to a number one, or it's just going to be off for a little bit and then it'll come back at 143. But yeah, I'm confused on what they're trying to do with the last Batman. And at least it's good. You're ending it. It's Chip's story. It's the Joker. It's everything that he's been building up throughout this whole Failsafe storyline that he kind of bumped in, I guess, like in the early 120s. So
yeah, I mean, no way Batman's gonna go away, right? I mean, that's like their money maker. Like, that's the only title that still sells super strong, the Bat family period. But yeah, we'll see where it goes with that. I also, the X-Men ongoing has been really, really awesome. Like, the flagship title has been amazing, but yeah, Batman's been really good. It's hard to pick like the independent books for ongoing, right? Because like, I can't pick Something Is Killing the Children because I feel like it has not been strong this year. I feel like it's kind of fallen. And I don't know if that's because the ideas dried up or if Tynan was doing too much or what, but I'm not feeling the same thing about it that I used to feel about it. So,
yeah. I agree. I just, it's up there. I know with Book of Slaughter just came out this week. I didn't get a chance to read that. So I guess the Slaughter universe, you want to say, cause like if you put in, House of Slaughter, that last story arc was good. And I agree with you. Like, there's not much that's like an ongoing for Boom Studios or Image.
It's definitely not Spawn. Spawn's garbage.
Well, yeah. I guess you could possibly throw in if you were reading if maybe Power Rangers or Ninja Turtles, if that's still up there, but everything else is always they're just starting or they're just ending,
Yeah. And I gave a lot of thought to some of the, the Massive Verse stuff, like the Radiant Black and Rogue Sun. And like, those are two very strong titles. I enjoy those every month they come out. But better than Batman now, Yeah. And I read TMNT and I read Power Rangers as well. Both awesome. Really, really good. But kind of nothing new. It hasn't like shook the core of the writing as Batman, I feel like, did this year.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. So with that being said, it was a great year of reading, a great year of writing stuff. And, you know, that's the one thing that Zach and I always like to talk about is that, you know, for this podcast, we are probably one of the few podcasts who actually are talking about books that we read and things that are coming out. You know, we're not just doing FOC and telling you about the book and really know nothing about it ongoing. And that's the one thing that I like about having people here on the podcast is learning about new books. And, you know, I think something that we're really trying to do next year is really bring in more people, more writers, more artists. You know, we're going to try to work around their schedules more so than trying to work around like our schedules. So like if we need to record on like a Sunday, you know, maybe you may not hear about them for like 2 weeks because it's just the way that it was.
Yeah.
You know, we got torn on here. We had to record at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. So that wasn't luckily, you know, I was able to work from home. This guy came home for lunch type of thing. Yeah. So it was pretty wild to actually be able to have her on here. So I definitely am just going to start throwing our name out there for 2024 and be like, hey, you want to come on? You want to come on? That's all it is. So,
yep. That's the way it is, man. I mean, yeah, I love talking to the writers and the artists and stuff. And obviously, we do a lot of the community members as well, which is super fun. And we love having our community guys on here too. But I mean, we're talking comics. Let's talk to the creators, man. That's kind of my thought process. So hopefully we'll get more this year. We've got a lot coming up with V-Ken Marion as well, which we've announced, which is going to be really cool with even his creator owned stuff he's got coming up. So yeah, dude, it's going to be a good 2024. Yeah. Let the drama flow, bro.
We're literally coming out of the gate. I already have to come up with a new, like, you know, a new intro for 24. Yeah, because like I love doing that for every season. So it'll be season 4, episode 1. We will absolutely have, different things going on. There's so much to announce. Obviously, we've already announced it 2 weeks ago. We're going to be at King Kong set up. Bringing Ken, we are going to be at Terrificon, set up an artist alley. You know, we are 100% trying to push for our own exclusive variant. Already talking to somebody about it. You know, we're seriously trying to get a publisher own comic. So we really want to bring that to Terrificon. If not, it'll be something with Ken, of course. So, but yeah, like Scott even says, you know, trying to get more shop owners to get their perspective on the side of business. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's something that I speak with a lot of shop owners here in Jersey. You know, I go to a lot of shows, so I get to see and talk with them. And, you know, I think that's the best thing to do going forward in 2024 is, just, you know, you got that guy from Comic Palace that just, he blew up the internet for, you know, a good couple of weeks. You know, Brian was talking about him on his show and a couple other guys were talking about it as well. And, you know, it's the truth, you know, obviously writers and artists, some of them were upset. Some of them agreed with him and, they know what's up. They know what people come in and buy on a weekly basis, monthly basis. You know.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. I mean, their perspective is great, especially on questions like the market, you know what I mean? And like whether new comic, you know, a lot of people are moving away from, not a lot, but some people are moving away from New Comic Book Wednesdays because it's just not as profitable, I guess, which would be horrible, but it is what it is, I guess. You know, everything's moving more online. And exclusives are killing everyone. So, yeah.
I think it's been like more of a, I think it's turned to more, this year has seriously become more of like a reader season, more of a reader year than a speculation year. Like, as I can remember in 2022, you know, even 2021 and before that, you know, I would literally go to lunch and I would try to hit up as many shops as possible to buy like that hot comic to flip it or whatever. Now I'm like, I don't even care. Like, I just go to the store or I pre-order my books and then where I find a new series and I read it and I like it and I talk about it here and we bring it to people who, you know, may not have checked out a series, you know, and I think that's the best thing is going forward is anytime there's like a new number one, I mean, I'm going to try it out. You know, I'm not getting it to invest in it, to hold it, to spec it. I don't care that, oh, there's a first appearance in this week's new Iron Man. I'm not spending the $4. Like,
yeah.
$4.99. Yeah, $4.99 sometimes. Like, I don't care anymore about that. Like, let somebody else do that. it's more of a pain in the ass, because then I got to take pictures. I got to list it. I got to ship it. I got to deal with people and their problems. Like,
takes the joy out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I liked this year as like a reading year. I like how you put that. Definitely was more of like a reading year for sure.
Yeah, we didn't, so. I barely go to shops on Wednesday now because I pre-order my books. I know that I don't need to rush out and get to a shop. Like, you know, before I'd make sure I'm at a shop at the one that's like closest to my house. They open at 11. I'm like, all right, I'm leaving. If I'm working from home, I'm leaving at 10:45. I'm going to be at there at 11. Grab those variants, grab, or, you know, whatever is hot, because somebody was talking about it this past week, you know, whether it's, you know, Lefteros or whoever, I don't care. Like, I'm not on, yeah. Not in that vein anymore. I know, newbie, I said Iron Man. That's right. Yeah. I don't know. That's it.
It was a good year, man. A lot of fun. Excited for next year. Like I said, next year is going to be a lot more fun. It's crazy. I mean, I feel like we've made a lot more connections this year as well with other channels and creators and people in the community through like you, boots on the ground at the cons and stuff, and just interacting with, you know, different people on their shows. And I feel like the community is on a course correction right now, away from these influencers. You know, like, I don't feel like these influencers have as much power as they used to. Of course, they'll still be around, and of course, they'll still be the drones who listen to everything they say. But the old hats and the people who are in the know, I think, are course correcting, and you're seeing coalitions form of like ourselves and like-minded individuals, which I'm excited about. So,
yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens next year, you know, who sticks around, who goes forward. There's a question. I kind of wanted to wait till next week to talk about this, but I mean, I guess we could kind of do, I guess, a mid-season, right? Because it's kind of...
I haven't watched any of it.
Oh, you haven't watched any of them? All right.
I haven't watched any of it.
Yeah. So I guess Scott, we'll definitely talk about this next week, because obviously the What If series just started coming out, but I think they're up to like 4 or 5 episodes. So yeah, Kahori is the new person that they introduced in this What If series. So I'm sure as hell that they're going to be whatever. I think I talked about it last week with Kevin or somebody. Whenever she appears in a comic book, it's going to blow people's minds, because there hasn't been too many. Like, when was the last time that like a cartoon character was first introduced that hit big, right? Like DC X-23. Had Harley. And Marvel had her. Other than that, like,
I mean, yeah, she was in the comic first, but she made her X-Men Evolution, you know, appearance.
Yeah, but I feel like that's what I thought X-Men Evolution came out before NYX.
Man, I could be wrong. Maybe you're right. I don't know.
I feel like X-23 first came out in, I mean, I'm sure someone will correct us, but yeah, I feel like she was like the first person that was in X-Men Evolution and then became like that, but yeah, you don't really see that too often. You know, when are you going to get like a person that's in a TV series or in a movie that's actually going to hit big enough to actually move forward? And yeah, this episode was pretty good. I think once you go ahead and sit down and watch all of them, Zach, I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm definitely excited to talk about. And I think what it should do is, like, newbies talking about a 5 million print run. I think what they 500 million print run. I think what they should do is, I feel like they should just introduce her, like, not secretly, but just introduce her and not make it a big event, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They
just have her appear in a storyline, and then that's how they're going to go. Not, all right, oh my God, we're going to introduce this person from the What If series, and then everybody's going to buy it. Everybody's going to have their own variant for it. And then that's what completely bogs down the title. Like, just let it naturally do it.
So. It was. She did X-Men Evolution first. You're right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. So.
All right. So yeah, next week we'll definitely be talking about the What If series. Hopefully Zach and I haven't gotten a chance to check out Aquaman. If we get a chance, we'll talk about that. I did watch Rebel Moon.
I haven't watched that yet either. No, okay. I got to watch Oppenheimer, bro. That's on my list right now. I still haven't watched Oppenheimer.
I know Barbie's on your list.
I will watch it.
I watched it. It's fine. I'm fine. It's cool. It was good. Yeah. I liked it. I thought it was the Ken parts were hilarious.
Rewatch Hawkeye.
So did I. I was sick on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. I was sick, so I completely binge watched Hawkeye on Christmas. Yeah. That was literally what I did. So still holds up.
Getting ready for Echo. Still holds up. Still great. Yeah.
Still seriously the best Disney Plus series. I don't care what anybody
says. I want to see the creator also. I love Denzel's son. I can't remember his name right now. I like him as an actor. I want to see that.
Oh, I don't know.
Check that out too.
I didn't realize that, you know, and you know, most directors do this, but like, you know, when they introduce the different characters in Rebel Moon, and obviously there's the one guy, it's Cyborg from, you know, Justice League. And I was like, oh, I know that guy. Like, the creator.
Switch productions.
That's another thing. Scott's talking about the creator. My brother and I were kind of talking about that.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Need to see that. I need to see the Iron Claw, the wrestling movie.
Yes.
I want to check that out. And then I need to finish up on Monarch. I'm at least like 3 episodes behind on Monarch. So
is that done yet?
I don't know. Maybe this week.
I might wait till it's done and then I'll just burn through it.
I feel like it's going to end soon, but we'll see what happens. So I guess closing words, 2023 in the books. Seriously appreciate everybody that's, you know, new listeners, old listeners, the people that hung out with us, you know, random, you know, we don't do YouTube shows. So when people are like, oh, they don't have any views on their YouTube show. Yo, I don't come here and do, it was fun. We tried to, you know, just do what we always do every year, have some fun on a live show, drink. Normally it's editing all this bullshit, but you know, it's fun. I don't have to edit this. It's just going to go right up. So, thanks everybody. Zach, seriously, 2023, it's been so much fun. It's always another year. You're not just my comic friend. You're my friend outside of this place, out of the squares, even though you're in El Paso, we have personal conversations. So, you know,
for
the people listening, you know, you never know, like, you know, Zach and I live hundreds and thousands of miles away and we still have, you know, personal conversations on a daily basis. So, absolutely fun to just, you know, hang out with you once a week and just, you know, forget about what's going on in the world.
Yeah. Next year I'll help carry him home when he gets too drunk from Terrificon up to his room to tuck him in or
listen
to different cons.
The past 3 cons I went to, hold up, the past 3 cons between Terrificon, I had Poison Ivy, Baltimore, I got hammered, and New York Comic Con, I don't even want to talk about New York Comic Con. But yeah, I screwed myself at all 3 cons and I'm not doing that for MegaCon. I will be at MegaCon in Orlando in November, February. And then I will not do that for Terrificon because obviously we have to have a booth and I have to stay good.
Good until the evening.
Yes.
Yeah.
And being able to wake up every day. So a lot of coffee while we're, so anybody who brings me coffee at Terrificon will love you.
Yep. For sure.
What about you, man? Closing words before we get out of here.
No, man. Like you said, great year. A lot of fun. Always have fun. Like we said, mentioned at the beginning, you know, every week I look forward to this, even though sometimes it can be like, oh, crap, I got to find a time to do this. And my life has definitely changed this past year. But it's been a nice, you know, it's always a nice escape to come on here and talk with you about comics and everyone else as well. But, you know, like you mentioned at the beginning, I always say, like, I'd be happy if it was just you and I talking and no one was listening. It's just fun to talk comics, man. And it's awesome to find a real person in the community that, you know, we met through the community, through the squares, like you said, and developed a great friendship. And man, I can't say how excited I am for next year. I keep saying it because it's just going to be like to a next level. So, yeah, man, thank you for everything. Toeing the line with all the social media posts and everything. Justin does the bulk, if not 99% of it. I'm not a social media guy necessarily very much. So most of the work is done by Justin. So,
yeah. You know, I guess lasting shout outs, seriously, thanks to also Mad Love Comics and Art for, you know, allowing us to do our own, you know, variant cover. You know, that was really cool. That was something that we wanted really to do for a while. You know, yes, it's not a publisher, Marvel, DC Comics. We don't have the backing to be able to have a print run of like 3,000 or 1,500, whatever it is. But, you know, listen,
we necessarily want that.
Yeah. You know, we got lucky. You know, we had a conversation. I've been a purchaser of James's stuff. We got a great character. I literally have less than 10 copies left out of, you know, our half of the print run sold super well. You know, and again, we really want to do something, you know, publisher owned for 2024. So that's our big thing. So But yeah, that's it. Thanks everybody for checking us out in 2023, and we will see you in the new year. So happy holidays and peace out, everybody.
Later.